Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are so glad that you're here for another trip report. That's what we do here on Monday. So thanks so much for checking in. We're going to get right to Megan and talk about her very recent trip to Walt Disney World. But first, a word from our sponsors. And Father's Day is coming up in just a couple of weeks. That's right. And also, it's graduation season. I'm sure you're headed to a graduation party here in the next week or two. Dads and grads, if you know anybody that loves Disney, get them a copy of one of the books by author Jeff Barnes over at thewisdomofwalt.com. You got two choices. You got the original, The Wisdom of Walt, which deals with Disneyland, and then the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, focused on Walt Disney World and how they took the idea of Disneyland and brought it to the East Coast. Not only do you get a lot of Disney history in these books, you also get lessons that Walt Disney left us and how he interacted with those around him, how he built teams, and how he was a great leader and got the most out of those working with him. And you could take those lessons to heart and make yourself a better person. So check out these great books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of about two or three Dole Whips, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1337 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you, and guess what? Happy June. Can you believe it? It's really summer now. Memorial Day was last weekend, and we're really getting into the meat of summer here, and I love it. I know most schools are out by now. If you're not, if you're on the East Coast, too bad. You guys got to not go back to school till after Labor Day. So hang in there. You're almost there. We're going to get you through this week, kicking it off here with a great trip report. So we're heading to the East Coast today to Virginia. Megan's joining us. What's going on, Megan?
Oh, not much. Ready to relive our trip.
That's right. And I like that yours was, very recent. We worked together on this trip, and you really had one I wanted to get out there and share because, you know, a lot of folks are yearning for current information about Walt Disney World, and you guys had a larger group, and we don't talk about that too much. A lot of times we have couples and, you know, a family of four or five, but you had a larger group. So I think there's lots of lessons that could be learned today for folks that are considering an extended family trip like this. So tell us when you went and where you stayed and all that.
Well, we're a really big group. There's 13 of us, and it's actually the second time that we've gone as a group of 13. So we have a lot of insights about that. But we went down, we were there, my husband and I and our kids went a couple of days early. So we got down there on the 21st, the rest of the group joined us on the 22nd. And we all headed home on the 28th. So we were there just the last week of April.
Okay, so you guys were there, you know, just a little bit over a month ago, and you mentioned 13 folks in the travel party, kind of a rival, staggering your rivals just a little bit within the group. Let's kind of go back to the beginning. You said you've done this before. What have you learned about traveling with a larger group for somebody that, you know, because I think what we do as Disney fans is Disney's really good about showing us promotional videos of, you know, grandpa dancing with the little 2-3-year-old granddaughter, you know, in some kind of a gazebo somewhere on property. And they're making these memories multi-generational, which is amazing, but there's so many logistics to think about. So walk us through kind of some of the planning for you.
Yeah. Well, so, the first time that we went, I have three boys, and they are triplets. So they are all the same age. And one of my sisters has two sons, and her youngest son is also the same age as my boys. So the first time we went as a group of 13 was because at that moment in time, four out of the five kids in our family were all free because they were all 2 years old. So we wanted to take advantage of that opportunity because that would not ever happen again, of course. So on that trip, it was a first trip for all of the kids while we were down there. And so we did kind of stay together as a group for most of the time on purpose, because the kids were having so many first moments, first time seeing the castle, first time meeting Mickey, first time riding the rides. So we tended to stay more together as a group that time. Now, this trip, of course, it's the same group, so everybody had been at least one time. So this time around, when we were planning it, we kind of worked a little more wiggle room into the schedule for people to go off and do their own thing, since there were fewer first-time moments in this trip. And also, the kids are a little older, so they have more, you know, opinions and different types of rides that they like and things they want to avoid. So that was a big factor in the planning this time.
Good tip. So you kind of learn from the last time, and that's great. I mean, because that's what we do. We kind of build on our knowledge base, and the next trip hopefully is better than the last, just because, you know, we learned we like this, we didn't like that, we don't have to do this, we want to make sure we do that. Now, let me, with this trip, when you guys were putting everything together, I'm always curious about this, because I know you kind of ran point for the whole large group, but how did you communicate and get everybody's input? Because there's so many moving parts. Did you use some kind of technology, or did you just get together in person? How's that go?
Mostly it was over Facebook Messenger. So the group was my mom and stepdad, and then my three sisters and our husbands, and then our kids that were the group. So mostly my sisters and my mom and I. We already have a running Facebook Messenger group anyway, so that became kind of our trip planning hub. And I would give out information, everybody would take it to their families, discuss it, bring me back their opinions and input, and I would use all of that to factor it in, to plan the trip, choose the restaurants, hotel rooms, that kind of thing. I forget the rest of the question. I'm so sorry.
How hard was that, though, in the planning? Because, you know, it's easy for me, because there's four of us. You know, we go down, and we do it with other families, but we kind of all are veteran Disney fans. We don't have, and we're not real picky either. You know, we're not worried about if we miss this restaurant or miss that attraction. We'll get there sometime. But is it stressful doing it? You know, trying to make ADRs for that many people, or making fast pass reservations. I mean, what did you find challenging, and what did you find maybe that wasn't as challenging as you were expecting?
The ADRs were actually more challenging than the fast pass, only because it's hard to find a restaurant that has space to seat 13. So getting a 13 person reservation is a little tricky. Most of our reservations were actually split into two parties, 7 and 8. And when we showed up, we would just ask them if they could try to seat us together. And it actually worked every single time except for one. So that actually worked out really well. Fast passes weren't too hard, mostly because we didn't want any of the major ones except for Navi River Journey, and we did manage to get that one. But the fast pass wasn't as difficult, and making the choices, again, with the Facebook Messenger, I would just ask everybody, you know, what's your number one restaurant that you don't want to miss? What's the number one ride that you must ride in order to make your vacation a success? And once I got those lists from everybody, it was pretty easy to make the choices for what to choose for fast passes and ADRs.
And that makes a lot of sense, too, because you want to get everybody's, you know, number one or number two thing, you know, because if everybody gets that, I think everybody's pretty happy, even if you don't get the thing that's seventh on your list. You know, like for me, if I get Kona, okay, everything else is cake. You know, I get to go to Kona, I get a little Ample Hills, and get to ride Space Mountain, no matter what else. You know, everything else is gravy. It's going to be a great trip for me. I like that strategy. So did you find that it was pretty stress-free, you know, as far as like the time until you got down to Walt Disney? Because I know with the kids, once you got there, it was probably kind of stressful and a little crazy, but I can only imagine. But I mean, did it seem like the planning went pretty well?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I just asked everybody for their favorites. And I mean, we are family, so we have a lot of the same favorites. So it really wasn't, there was kind of a lot of overlap. So nothing really had to get cut. And we also made it clear, you know, from the beginning, I'm going to go ahead and book reservations. I'm going to book fast passes. But if anybody wants to change it, you know, to something different, if you want a different fast pass, a different ride, a different restaurant, it's fine. Like, you can change it. And everybody just wanted to make sure that they made their trip, you know, as good as it could be. Because obviously, I mean, we've been before and we know we'll go again, but it's not an every year sort of trip. So you want to make sure you get it all in when you can. And we wanted to make this trip just as much fun and lighthearted as we could, because we were having kind of a celebration time down there. It was the last, like I said, we went before when the kids were really little. And then so we decided to go again this time, because in the time since then, we've had several family members overcome major health problems, heart attack and cancer and all kinds of things. And everybody's healthy and well. And my mom actually retired. So it was kind of a gift from her and my stepdad for all of us to go down together just to celebrate everything all at one time.
I love hearing that, though, because there is nothing more important than family. And we do need to take time out of our lives to celebrate the blessings we have. I mean, there's so many things that I think we always take for granted, you know, and things like health. And, you know, when you have a health scare and you can overcome that, that needs to be celebrated. So that makes my heart happy here on a Monday. I love hearing that. So now, let's talk about where you stayed. I know you guys stayed at, I believe, All-Star Music. So how did that work out for you?
Right. It was great. We had stayed at the All-Star Resorts before. We did the last trip that we went down. We stayed at All-Star. And actually in the past, pre all of the children being born, when my sisters and I were the kids, we stayed at the All-Star Resorts too. But this was the first time that we had to get one of the family suites. Actually, we got two of them, but because now my husband and I, of course, are family of five. Previously, we could stay in a single room because the kids didn't count yet because they were under three. But this time around, you know, they count in the head count for the people in the room. So we needed a larger room. So we ended up getting two of the family suites and then two of the standard preferred rooms at All-Star Music.
So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, because not too many people stayed in the family suites at, you know, those were the original family suites before Art of Animation, and they were very popular, still are. So did you think it worked out well for you? And how did it work with that combo of standard rooms and family suites?
Well, they actually were able to get all of us right next to each other. So we were, there was one, actually felt kind of bad for them. There was one room in between our rooms. So there was the two standard rooms were right next to each other. And then there was like one room that was not ours. And then the two suites were right next to each other on the other side.
You should have just adopted those folks, you know, and just your family for this trip. Yeah, come on.
We're only 13 people. We might as well jump in. And so it worked out well. We were all really close to each other, which was nice because it's easy to run back and forth. In the suite, we have a coffee maker. So I was able to run coffee over to my mom in the morning and everything because we were all right next to each other. So that was pretty great. And, and the suites were fantastic. I mean, speaking as one of the ones with small children, it's nice for them to be able to have space to jump around, run around, move around without being on top of each other. Because in, you know, a standard hotel room, there's nowhere for them to move, nowhere for them to kind of be, except in the walkways of the room or jumping on the bed or something like that. So it was really nice to have the open space for them to be able to be kids and not have to worry about, you know, jumping on the furniture or anything like that. So that part was really nice.
I can imagine three boys all the same age at Walt Disney World. I just, the thoughts going through my mind of just them bouncing from bed to bed and stuff, like, I don't know. It's like I'm picturing like Huey, Dewey, and Louie or something from, you know.
That's exactly it.
Something like that. It's so funny. So, okay, so you found All-Star Music to work out fine for you. Did you find, like, transportation okay? Did the kids get into the pools, anything like that?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, like I said, we've done the All-Stars before, so, you know, we pretty much knew how well the bus system worked. And actually, I mean, they seemed to come, to me, it seemed a little more frequently this time than the last time we were there. We also did not end up sharing buses with the other All-Star resorts this particular time. I know that's how it's supposed to work, but they didn't. Everything came straight to our resort and then straight to the parks and back again. So that was nice. We didn't have to make multiple stops. And then we went, I mentioned my husband and I went down a couple of days before everybody else. And that was because we wanted to give the kids some time to swim in the pool and play at the hotel because they like to do that. You know, hotels are fun for kids. It's a cool place to be. And so they always like to swim in the pool at the hotel. But at Disney, you know, there's hardly any time for it. Yeah. And at All-Star, you know, you have to walk past the pool to get to your room. So we wanted to make sure they got their fill of the pool before we started the parks. That way we wouldn't have to answer questions of, you know, when will we get to do this? When will we get to do that? And not be sure we could fit it in. So, yeah, they swam for a couple of days at All-Star Music before we started the parks.
That's so smart, though, because I remember when Paige was little, I thought it was Mallory, but actually it was back to Paige. Like, she used to say, we should just live in a hotel. Like, she'd say that every time we went to Disney. Like, yeah, we should, but we can't because you got to pay for a hotel. But yeah,
no,
she loved
our
it because
kids would be really happy with that too.
Same here. You know, like, a hotel was exotic. You know, there's, like I said, swimming pools. You didn't have to clean your room, nothing like that. You know, so she
loved
it. All right, so you guys went down early, kind of took advantage of swimming and getting yourself into the vacation mode. Folks start arriving. Tell us about some of the memories. You know, maybe not chronologically, but some of the highlights of touring the parks with this group.
Yeah, well, so our first night, actually, once everybody got down there, we met at the Polynesian to have dinner at Ohana, which was a first for all of us. I said there weren't a lot of firsts on this trip, but that one was a first. We had never eaten it at Ohana before, and so we thought it would be a fun way to start the trip because, like I mentioned, we were celebrating a lot of things. We were also celebrating my husband's birthday and my nephew's birthday also. So I think you've been to, I'm pretty sure you've been to Ohana before. You know, they have the coconut races for the kids. And so all five kids jumped in and did that. And, they did a birthday song and they asked, you know, who, if it's your birthday, you can come up. And, you know, a whole group of like small children went running up cause it was their birthday. And we made my husband go up too and stand with all the kids and the restaurant sang happy birthday. And it was a really nice way to start the trip off because it was a relaxing thing to do, but it was still a very Disney, you know, thing to do. So it felt like Disney, even though we weren't in the parks just yet.
Let me ask you this real quick before we go on to the next thing. Cause I'm always curious about this cause Ohana has this almost, mystique about it in the Disney community. You listen to podcasts, you're in the know, you know, and it was your first time there. So did it live up to the hype? And it's okay if it didn't. I mean, because just be honest, but I mean, it's one of those things that I think that it's like, you hear about it and you're like, oh, it's so hard to get an ADR. And it's people talk about it so highly. I mean, was it what you were hoping it to be?
It was for me. And I know my husband loved it too. I mean, like I said, we're a big group, so everybody has a lot of diverse opinions. I don't think anybody hated it. I know it wasn't everybody's favorite. But everybody seemed to have a good time. So like whether or not the food was everybody's favorite or not, everybody liked that, you know, from the restaurant, you can see Space Mountain and the castle and the resort itself is of course beautiful. And then the fun, you know, that added in the coconut races and singing happy birthday and all that stuff. Everybody enjoyed that for sure. I don't think the food was everyone's favorite, but that's a gamble you take, you know, when you go to a place where it's a fixed menu and you don't get to pick. I will say, though, that they, and I didn't know this until we were seated at the table, they have a kids menu, that not like an actual menu, but they brought out some chicken nuggets and some macaroni and cheese for my nephews to have, and I didn't know that's something that they would do until we were there.
I know that well, because that's all Paige used to eat. No, she's still almost, pretty much she still eats it. She's 21.
Hey, you know, when you find what's good, you stick with it, right? That's,
I'm going to take this recording and play it for her when I go upstairs. So Ohana was a great way to kick it off, though. Celebratory, you know, everybody getting in on the action, visiting a nice resort, you know, right there on the monorail loop. So what else happened? I mean, you guys sound like you really had your mindset to have, you know, lots of celebrations together.
Yeah. So, so we also scheduled the fireworks dessert party. That was for our second park day. So our second park day was in the Magic Kingdom. And we really, really wanted to get a really good view of Happily Ever After because none of us had seen it before except on, you know, online, on YouTube. We looked it up and watched it, but none of us had seen it in person before. And with the projections on the castle and everything like that, we just really wanted to have a good spot to watch it, but there's 13 of us. So saving a space for 13 people was like next to impossible unless we all camp out for a couple of hours and nobody wanted to do that. So we all decided it was worth a shot to try the dessert party. We picked the one with the plaza garden viewing. So out, you know, in the grass in front of the castle. And we loved it. I mean, it was just fantastic. We went to the dessert portion. We didn't spend a whole lot of time in there eating the desserts. I mean, everybody got a little something to eat, took some bottles of water, you know, to go outside and everything. But we ended up squeezing in a couple of extra rides right before the dessert party. So we didn't spend as much time. But for us, honestly, that wasn't where the value was. For us, the value was having a place to sit down and all be together and get to watch the fireworks, you know, all at the same time without having to give up any of our park touring time to do that.
Cool. That's a good tip. Now, you'd seen Wishes, though, prior, right? In person?
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Wishes or Happily Ever After, which one do you like? It's kind of hard to say because you had such a good spot for Happily Ever After because I had the same thing about the same time you were there. But what do you think? Compare the two.
I would say definitely Happily Ever After. I loved Wishes. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I didn't like it. And in the past, we had camped out for the fireworks, which is why we knew we didn't want to do it this time, because we've done it before and we didn't want to do it now. And Wishes was amazing. I mean, you can't top Disney World fireworks, except with Disney World fireworks, because I didn't think it could be better than Wishes. But with the projections on the castle and the new music and everything that they've added into the show, it's unbelievable. I mean, everybody had tears in their eyes at certain points. Everybody was laughing at certain points. It was just fantastic. It's just such a good show.
It is. It's so Disney. I mean, it's hard to describe things that way, but you're listening to a Disney podcast, you get it. It's so Disney. It is. It's emotional. I mean, it is, and I like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I like it.
I mean, we cry at the welcome show, so we may not be the best.
I do too.
The best people to tell, but we get all teared up when Mickey comes out.
I do too, but I just say there's like dust in the air. There's a lot of pollen.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Absolutely. It's all allergies.
I'm a 6'3". I'm a 6'3" guy. You know, I can't be too emotional, but
right.
Yeah,
no,
it kind of can be.
Not.
That's why I go. So you got all these kids, you know, they're hyped up. So what do they like? Like, what do they want to go do? Like, I know the adults have their ideas on things, but I mean, I want to hear what these boys want to do. Like, what were some of their highlights?
Yeah, well, so like I said, the last time we went, four of the kids were two, and one of them was, let's see, by that point, he was four. He's 2.5 years older than the other, so sometimes it's kind of hard for me to calculate, but he was four. And so back then, of course, you know, we mostly just rode the Dumbo and Jungle Cruise, that kind of thing. Yeah, the easy, simple stuff that little kids like. But since then, they've all obviously gotten older and they've ridden more rides and they've gotten a better sense of the kinds of things that they like. My two nephews really, really wanted to hit Haunted Mansion. And so they did that for Magic Kingdom on our Magic Kingdom day. And my boys have gotten very adventurous. They love the thrill rides. So they were all about Splash Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Yeah, that was their to-do list. And we did all of it, and they just loved it. I mean, I know for my boys, their favorites were Pirates of the Caribbean, which they were too scared to go on last time. Not that it's really a thrill ride, but it was a little too scary. And I know that my nephews did over in Epcot. We didn't do this. And then now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not really sure why, but they did the Agent P's. What is it? Secret. I can't remember what the name of it is, but the World Showcase, you know, adventure thing with Agent P. Because they really like Phineas and Ferb. So when they found out there was a secret agent adventure you could go on with Agent P, they were all about that. And it was listening to them tell me about all the things that they did on that adventure was so cute. They were so excited.
But isn't it so funny though, like when you get home that the kids bring up the stuff like that? You know, like that's such a, you know, in the overall scheme of things, like the Agent P, you know, what a World Showcase adventure, whatever it's called. You know, it's a minor thing. It's a distraction from all the attractions and restaurants and shopping. But I mean, it's the kids will come home and talk about the swimming pool and some random stuff like that. And you're like, kidding me.
They loved it. I mean, when we went to dinner that night, they could not stop talking about it. It was so cute. He was carrying, like, my one nephew still had the tea bag that they got at one stop as like part of their, you know, secret mission and everything. And he was showing it to me and they loved it so much. It was so awesome. So every kid had like a to-do list in mind, and we did manage to get all the things done that they wanted to do. So
it sounds like they were just like at the perfect age. I mean, again, you know, the perfect age is, you know, very fluid, but I mean, they're at that age where, you know, this is it, man. I mean, this is, they're living the fantasy right there on all these attractions. So I could imagine it was just like bouncing from one thing to the next, especially with things like Big Thunder, Haunted Mansion, Splash Mountain. I mean, they were probably just beside themselves this trip.
Yeah, because they're, like I said, they're finally, you know, big enough to ride these things, but not old enough that, you know, it doesn't seem as exciting or as fun. So yeah, they were super, super excited.
So what were some of the highlights for the adults? Let's go to the adults. I mean, it might not have been Splash Mountain and Big Thunder. I mean, it could have been just, you know, strolling around talking. I mean, what would you guys like?
Yeah, well, so when we were there, it was during Flower and Garden Festival. And my husband and I were the only ones of our group who had been there before during Flower and Garden. So everybody was looking forward to, you know, seeing Epcot all decked out with all the topiaries and all the flower installations and all that stuff. My mom especially was really excited to go check all of that out. And I know some of the other adults in the group wanted to spend a little bit more time in World Showcase, because last time we were there, we never actually did a full Epcot day. So nobody got to do a lot over in World Showcase when we were there before. So I know everybody really enjoyed that aspect of it, getting to go do some of the, I don't know, sort of like sightseeing in Epcot, exploring the different countries and checking out the topiaries. And the butterfly habitat that they have during Flower and Garden, where you can go in and you can actually see, you know, butterflies coming out of a chrysalis, and the whole tent is full of them. And everybody really enjoyed that, the Flower and Garden Festival in Epcot. That was a lot of fun.
So you guys were there during Flower and Garden, of course, in April, kind of mid to late April. What did you think about, like, the crowds, the weather? Was that a time that you would recommend for somebody to visit maybe in 2019?
Yeah, this is actually the second time that we've gone right at the end of April. My husband and I, we went on another trip with my in-laws at this same time a few years ago. And the weather was great. Honestly, the first couple of days we were there, it was actually a little cool. And I think you were there at the same time. Yeah, it was in like the 70s, which, I mean, in terms of like park touring is wonderful, but we came down earlier to use the pools. So it was a little chilly. The kids didn't care, but I did. And then it got warmer as the week went on. And even, towards the end, the temperatures were up into like the low 90s as the high, but it wasn't yet humid. It was humid, but not Florida humid, where you feel just overwhelmed by it. So the weather was pretty good. There was a, cheerleading competition, starting up towards the end of our trip. So people were, of course, arriving towards the beginning. So I'd say crowds were, you know, a little on the high side, but not anything that wasn't manageable. We used our fast passes, of course. We used the rolling fast passes once we'd used up our fast passes for the day, which was nice. That was new this time, that you could do it, you know, on the My Disney Experience app. Last time we were there, you had to go to a kiosk in order to do it. So that was a huge upgrade from last time.
That is nice.
That helped a lot in terms of, you know, just crowds and everything, being able to get the fast passes. And not to mention, like I said, we were traveling with small kids. So all the, you know, teenagers weren't really doing the same stuff that we were doing anyway. So the crowds really didn't affect us too much. So yeah, I thought it was a pretty great time to be there.
So with the kids that age, and I mean, I shouldn't say that because this is exactly how I tour. I mean, did you guys take a break midday, go back and kind of regroup and then go out again in the evenings, or did you power through all day, or did some people do that, some people not? How'd that work?
We didn't. No, we powered through all day.
See, I can't do that. I have to have a nap. I'm like a 2-year-old, you know, I get crabby.
I mean, I'm not going to say that if we had gone back to the room, everyone wouldn't have taken a nap, because we probably would have. But like we said, we had so much planned and so much that we wanted to do that we just didn't want to take the time away from our park touring. That was the first 4 days. We had 5-day park hopper tickets. So the fifth day, I know we kind of all split up to just go do, you know, whatever it is that you still had left on your list, or things you wanted to repeat or anything like that. And I know a couple of the groups, at least if I'm remembering correctly, went back to the hotel, at least to swim or to take a nap, something along those lines. And I know my one sister and her family, they were leaving really early the next morning. So I know they stopped their park touring like in the late afternoon and went back to the hotel to swim. Also, my husband and I took the opposite course and we hit extra magic hours at Magic Kingdom that morning, so our sons could re-ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because that was what they wanted to do. And then we ended up hopping to Epcot after we ate lunch. And then we left Epcot in the late afternoon and went to Hollywood Studios. Stayed at Hollywood Studios until about 7:30 or so. And then we went back to the Magic Kingdom.
How old are your boys? And they hung with you? Because I don't think I could hang with you.
They're 5. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they were right there with us. In fact, the reason we went to Hollywood Studios was because of them. They just had to go see the Indiana Jones stunt spectacular again. So we went back over to Hollywood Studios so they could see that and ride Star Tours. Those were the two things that they really wanted to do. while we were there. And then once we were there, one of my sons insisted that we had to ride Toy Story Mania one more time. So then we stood in line for Toy Story Mania and rode that again too, because, you know, why not?
You guys are some good parents. I'll just say that.
Well, I'll admit it was as much for us as it was for the kids. So I don't know if we deserve that much credit, but we had a good time. It was a great way to end the vacation. It was a lot of fun.
So let me get this in there, because I want to get this in before we go, because food is an important part. You know, where you dine, especially when you have larger groups, because when you're breaking bread with your family, that's when you catch up on all the stories and catch up with what everybody's enjoying during the trip and things outside the vacation. So you mentioned Ohana, and that was kind of how you kicked it off. But did you have any other memorable meals or anything that stood out as far as like a table service restaurant?
Yeah, I mean, we did. We had dinner together the first four of those park days. So we had a table service reservation each of those days, so that, like you said, even if we had split up to go ride rides, we'd all still come together, you know, at mealtime, so we could talk about, you know, what we've been doing and make plans for the evening and that kind of thing. All the places we ate were places we had eaten before, so they weren't anything, it didn't, you know, no, like, surprising experiences or anything, but they're places we really enjoy. In Epcot, we went to Coral Reef and had dinner, which was always fun, of course, because the kids love the giant fish tank. And in Magic Kingdom, we did Tony's, mostly just because it's the easiest place to get a group of people our size.
You know, I like Tony's. So I know most people don't. I like Tony's. I'm fine with it.
It had been a long time since I had eaten there. I think I was a little kid the last time I'd eaten there, so I really didn't remember it. But it had a good menu for a diverse group of people, so we chose it. But we were really happy with it. The fresh bread on the table, and the food was really good. I don't think anybody had a bad meal there. So, yeah, I think it does get kind of a bad rap, because it was pretty good. And then we did Rainforest Cafe at Animal Kingdom, and we did everybody's favorite at Hollywood Studios, which was 50s Prime Time.
Yes.
We all love eating there.
Mallory's already asking if we're going there next month.
Yeah,
actually the end of this month.
You can't beat
now.
The food there. It's so good.
I'm in a dilemma. I can either get the meatloaf, like the meatloaf meal, or I get that like triple play that has meatloaf,
uh-huh,
pot roast,
oh, yeah,
and chicken, I think.
We get the sampler every time.
Either way, you're
winning. It's so good, because you can't choose. The fried chicken is so good. Oh, it's delicious.
What I usually do is I'll get the meatloaf myself, and then hopefully my wife doesn't finish hers, because she usually gets the pot roast and the chicken. So I get two out of the three.
You at least get a little bit. Yeah.
Exactly. I just hope she's not real hungry. I'm just like, eat a snack before you go in. Yeah.
So that's so. And the very last day of our trip, that Saturday when everybody started making their way home, my husband and I and our kids, we actually went to Disney Springs for a little bit to let the kids finish spending their souvenir money, for one thing. But also that day was my husband's birthday. So we made reservations at Homecoming for lunch. Oof. That day. Yeah. Oh, it was so good. By the time we got done eating, I mean, we were going to hit but our plan was to hit the road and start making our way home. But all we wanted to do was take a nap instead.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, you should never, that should be illegal in the state of Florida to go to Homecoming and then try to get behind the wheel.
It was awful. Yeah, no, we didn't. We walked around Disney Springs for a while longer. There was no way.
They're going to have a new restriction on your, you know, like DWI or driving after Homecoming. DAH.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We were ready for a nap.
That's scary.
But the food was so good. It was really, really good.
Let me ask you this, though, as kind of we wrap up here. A counter service meal, because, you know, we're always hitting counter service meals because you're trying to get your park touring in. You don't want to stop too long for a table service meal. Do you have one that stuck out anywhere that you swung by and, you know, hey, that was pretty good?
I mean, not anything in particular. We stick to kind of the old standbys because, I mean, as you can tell, like I said, even when on our four park days, we were all together, even as a giant group, I mean, we were rope dropped to park close every day. We really like to pack it all in. So we don't like to stop too long, for lunch. So we just look for simple things, chicken nuggets, hot dogs, that kind of thing. Just to kind of refuel and move on. So we did Cosmic Rays at Magic Kingdom, Backlot Express in Hollywood Studios. But we did the final day when we were all kind of split up, my husband and I and our kids, we got some food at Liberty Square Market, I think is what it's called, right outside of Hall of Presidents, mm-hmm, just to grab a quick lunch. And I was surprised by the variety of food they had there. Like, we were able to kind of pick and choose some, you know, bits and pieces of stuff. And my husband grabbed a couple of pretzel dogs over at Sleepy Hollow. And then we sat down and just kind of made a meal out of the pieces of food that were there. But it was one of my favorite meals because we were able to get, you know, some fresh fruits and vegetables. We got a couple of the pickles and we got some pretzel dogs and drinks and everything. And it was really good and quick and easy, of course, because it's just kind of not even quick service, but just, you know, grab and go. You just get it and pay for it.
I'm so onto that this summer. I'm using your tip this next month. That's a great idea to kind of combine it with something from Sleepy Hollow, too.
Yeah, Sleepy Hollow chairs with much. Umbrellas and everything right behind it, right behind the Liberty Square Market to sit down and eat it all. So it was a good choice. It was an accidental choice, but it worked out really well.
Yeah, kind of right there in that alcove between Hall of Presidents and Columbia Harbor House, right there.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. I'm so stealing that. Okay, so as we go, let's kind of wrap this up and give me like the memory, because for me, like, I always remember the trip by like, oh, that's the trip that this happened, you know, or that's the trip where we did that. So when you look back on this trip, is there any like one big memory that you're going to remember other than just the celebratory times that you had with your family? Or was there like some story you want to leave us with that you're dying to share?
I don't know. That's so hard. Because like I said, there were just so many, you know, small moments through the whole trip. I mean, just doing the multi-generational trip, like you said, with the planning videos, you know, you see the moments of the grandpa dancing with the grandkid. And we had those moments and it was so nice. I caught a few snapshots of a few of them, like my sons, you know, walking hand in hand with my stepdad through the Magic Kingdom, having a conversation, you know, about everything that they're seeing, and all the ride photos that we got. You know, we got one on Frozen Ever After. We got our whole family all in one boat together, all 13 of us. And it is the best ride picture ever. The variety of faces that everybody's making in that picture. It's awesome. So I honestly don't think I could pick just one moment, except for, like I said, sharing that time, being able to watch Happily Ever After in a, you know, just being so relaxed and just having such a good, like you said, it's so Disney, just having that Disney moment. And everybody's got tears in their eyes and just genuinely having such a great time. That was something we definitely won't forget.
Well, Megan, it just sounds like you guys had an awesome time. It's a great way to kick off a week. And I know y'all are a military family. So just on behalf of my family and all of our listeners, thank you for the service. Because if it wasn't for folks sacrificing like you and your husband who serves and your whole family who sacrifices, we wouldn't be able to do stuff like this. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. Well, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for dads and grads. And you know what? You can get it for anybody else, too. Jeff won't mind. He likes selling those books. So drop by there, thewisdomofwalt.com. You got the original book, The Wisdom of Walt, all about Disneyland, and the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, really focusing on Epcot, but also bringing the idea of Disneyland to the East Coast of Central Florida. And lots of chances to improve your relationships with those around you. So check out these books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And it is summer. It's June. The crowds are descending on Central Florida as we speak. Planes are flying there, packed full of tourists. You want to stay out of the lines and have the most amount of fun possible. And that's what you need to do with a premium subscription to touringplans.com. So drop by there today. Check out all the great services they offer. Get that premium subscription. It'll be right there on your mobile device. And you'll steer clear of the crowds for the summer and for the next 365 days. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got a great Facebook page over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, if you want to support the show, use our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks to everybody who is doing that. All right, we're going to be back again on Wednesday where we'll answer your listener questions. But until then, for Megan, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.